So what is needed to have a good story for a book or a movie or a play? Well, you need to have the three M's. You need to have mission, mystery, and of course, monsters. The television series, which became a movie series, that had this formula down to a science was, and currently is, Mission Impossible. How does every episode start? The tape is played, the mission is revealed, the tape will self-destruct, and then the Mission Impossible task force has a new adventure to go off on. In the first season of Mission Impossible in 1966, before Father Jerome was born, a mission was given because the evil General Rio Dominguez had stolen two nuclear warheads and had hid them in a hotel vault in Santa Costa. The mission was to get those bombs before they go boom. As for the mystery, there were going to be clues, conspiracy, and intrigue along the way. Finally, you got to have monsters. There were thugs, double agents, car chases, and of course, two nuclear warheads waiting to go boom. Now, we all know the Mission Impossible Task Force is going to succeed. For no other reason that if they don't, the producers cannot make any more money on the series. However, we watch intently to understand the how. How will Mission Impossible save the day? The three M's, mission, mystery, and monsters, are not just an entertaining formula for a television show. They also help us to understand our personal salvation journey. In today's gospel, Jesus gives a very clear mission to the disciples. He tells them to go forth and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and to teach all that I had commanded you. That mission cannot be any clearer. So what's next? Of course, we have to look at the mystery. The disciples had been through a lot over 3 years. They were called forth to leave everything by an itinerant preacher. And as they were journeying with him, they listened to his teachings. They saw the miracles that he was doing. Then they saw the passion, him die right in front of their eyes. Then it gets really weird, because a dead man rises from the dead and appears to them. And today we see that Jesus, instead of self-destructing like the tape, we're told that he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. You can only imagine the disciples at this point were like, really? Now what? Well, now they had to delve deeper into those mysteries. They had to really kind of understand who Jesus Christ is. Yes, Jesus Christ spoke prophetically, but many people spoke prophetically. Yes, Jesus Christ was a good moral teacher, but there are many good moral teachers throughout the years. What makes him different is what St. John tells us in the beginning of his gospel. He says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." The disciples would have to bring that mystery into their lives. How can this human being also be God incarnate? Then they'd have to think back to Good Friday. Think, why? Why did Jesus Christ have to die on that cross? In 1 Peter 2, we get an answer. We're told, when he was insulted, he returned no insult. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Instead, he handed himself over to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that free from sin we might live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. That mystery of how that happens on the cross had to be unpacked, had to be contemplated, and had to be preached. While there are dozens of mysteries, let's just look at one more. The mystery that helps us to understand the meaning of life. Again, St. Peter boldly proclaims this in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. There he says, "There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are saved." So Jesus Christ is the meaning of life. It is through his teachings, through his actions, that he gives us those insights that we could never know for ourselves. Then, of course, he will ascend into heaven and open up the gates of heaven for all believers. These are just a few of the mysteries that the disciples had to contemplate and preach. So what's left? Now we have to look at the monsters. From the very beginning, we see evil was, and we know continues to be, a reality. The devil was there to tempt successfully Adam and Eve. The devil tried to tempt Job unsuccessfully. The devil even tried to tempt our Lord Jesus Christ in the desert. Even when the devil does not make a personal appearance, we know that sin is a reality. Human beings are in fact created in the image and likeness of God. We are called to be good and holy because our Creator is good and holy. But at times we are prone to doing things we shouldn't. At times we become the monsters to ourselves and to each other. At other times, we will do nothing, absolutely nothing wrong, yet the monsters will come to visit us. Think about Christ upon the cross. Although sinless, he paid the ultimate price. But no monster was going to keep our Lord from fulfilling his mission. So knowing that they would face monsters, the disciples went out to fulfill their mission, to preach the mysteries of Jesus Christ. And in doing this, they did in fact encounter many monsters. If you look at the original 12 disciples, we'll put Judas off to the side for obvious reasons. Of the other 11, 10 of them were martyred. St. John is the only one who wasn't martyred. He got off easy. He was only beaten, poisoned, boiled in oil, and exiled. What a wimp. No, just kidding. And then if we look, we see St. Paul. I think St. Paul is sort of a proto-gangster rapper. I don't know much about gangster rap, but the little that I do when I read St. Paul's writings, I think, I can see where these guys get it. I think one of the principles of gangster rap is you have to give your street cred, your credibility. You got to let people know that you are tough, that you have paid your way to be here. Well, when you read St. Paul's letters, what does he say? He talks about being lashed and beaten and stoned and shipwrecked. He talks about facing dangers from the rivers, the robbers, the Gentiles, the Jews, and his own brothers. And like any good gangster rapper, you have to do time. St. Paul wrote most of his letters from prison. He's a felon. And ultimately, he would give his life for the mission. St. Paul, the other disciples, and Jesus Christ would not allow the monsters to get in the way of their mission. So back to us. Like an episode of Mission Impossible, we all know the ending which we are striving for. The risen Christ has conquered sin and death. He has ascended into heaven and opened up the gates of heaven for all who believe. But we do know, between now and the time we meet our Lord, we have to live out our faith journey to understand, to unpack the how. We must delve very deep into those mysteries of our faith, because only they can answer the questions that we will have. As for monsters, you better believe they will come to visit all of us. As beautiful and as wonderful as this world is, we know that the people that we love are going to be hurt, are going to get sick, are going to die. We know that we are going to be hurt, we are going to get sick, and we are going to die. But like Jesus Christ, like the apostles, no monster, No evil, not even death itself, should keep us from fulfilling our mission. Today, Jesus Christ gives us that beautiful mission that he gave to his disciples 2,000 years ago. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded of you. So contemplating the mysteries of our faith and knowing that you will in fact face many monsters, do you accept your mission?